Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am honored today because I have Glean with me, and she is a conflict engagement coach and mediator. She helps women who are frustrated and in crisis in their relationship go from anger to being heard, understood, and valued. She does via supporting conversations or one-to-one online relationship reset roadmap. Thank you so much for being here today, Glean.
Thank you, Dr. Caroline. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you and just to really dive into your entrepreneurial journey. So I would love for you to share where you've been, where you are now, and then we'll dive a little deeper into that.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for asking that question. Well, I think it's been a long journey, but it's been so worthwhile. I think what really I've noticed is the personal development side of being an entrepreneur is huge. Mm-hmm. Like that is the biggest thing that I've learned. If you didn't want to do any personal development, I would say maybe don't become an entrepreneur.
Good advice.
Yes, that is happening all the time. And one of the things I do is I help people with women and men with their boundaries and difficult conversations. So my journey is ongoing with that. And I'm learning every day, and I'm learning how to put things in place so it doesn't come as a sentence I've learned from a book and or abrupt. Yeah. So that it flows a little bit and it's more me, it's authentic and genuine. Mm-hmm. So a long time ago, before I had a business, mm-hmm. I was in a relationship, and my partner at the time, they would do really, you know, uncomfortable things like criticize me in public or in front of friends. Mm-hmm. And that was a really hard thing to take, and I just froze. Yeah. And people around us would say, hey, don't say that to her. And they'd stand up for me. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't standing up for myself. Mm-hmm. And that was a real learning, a steep learning curve at that point. Mm-hmm. So what I did, I started to learn about how to have those difficult conversations and what to do when you freeze in the moment, how to move yourself out of that. Mm-hmm. And then quite a few years later, I'd been practicing and things weren't going so well and things were going okay. And then I stumbled upon this amazing process and nonviolent communication, basically. So it's learning how to communicate compassionately. Mm-hmm. And that amongst some other skills that I've put together in my toolkit. And what happened was I recognized that I wasn't an entrepreneur at that stage, but I recognized that my boss at that point was actually starting to, I guess we call it a bully. I don't really like that term because it's sort mm-hmm. of a bit labeling. Mm-hmm. But I certainly didn't want to be the other label, which was the alternative was that I was the victim, right? Mm-hmm. So I started to use the things that I practiced. Mm-hmm. I felt put on the spot, but I also felt ready. That was the conversation I had been practicing for a few years. Mm-hmm. It went really well. Like, you know, it wasn't pleasant at the time. There was a threat to sue me and things like that. So it was high stakes, yeah. which was completely unfounded, but that doesn't matter when somebody's, you know, having those mm-hmm. threats, right? Okay. You still feel put on the spot. And I was just ready for it. And what I did as a manager then was I used all these skills with all the members that I was managing, all the staff, and it worked really well. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to do this in my own business. This is really passed the test on so many levels. So I started my entrepreneurship journey, and it's still a learning curve. But I love helping people get through their boundaries. So, and and have difficult conversations, because even with skills, it's hard. So I want to say to anybody listening that if you're about to have a difficult conversation, go you, because it takes courage to step mm-hmm. up to the plate with skills or without. Mm-hmm. I would imagine without skills, you're perhaps not going to, like me back then, but I know you can do it.
Yes. I'm so glad you brought that up, because, you know, boundaries is something that's super passionate for me to talk about, to embody, because I struggled with boundaries beforehand, even as in my former years as a therapist. Just it was easy for me to set boundaries with others, but when it came to my personal relationships, I did struggle, even though I had all this knowledge, all the skill set to do it. The courage piece of just implementing it, especially those that might be more on the people-pleasing side, which I used to be as well, it's really hard. So we get each other. And I'm sure other people listening understand too. You're not alone. But it's a testament that both of us have learned how to have those difficult conversations. But that's exactly now being able to morph that into what you're doing to help individuals really be able to have those hard conversations, because a lot of people avoid conflict. It's uncomfortable, but it goes back to the boundaries. And when you're able to, it makes all the difference. So I'm curious, when you started to implement your own boundaries in the workplace, but also in relationships too, what was that shift like for you?
It's been groundbreaking. Yeah. It's been absolutely amazing, because when I first started, I can hear the talk in my head, but then I go, well, are you going to say it? You know, I can hear the whole conversation in my own head. Yeah. And it's like, okay, so go for it. So when it's actually being put out there, it mm-hmm. sounds different and it sounds a bit awkward. But what I've discovered is, to the other person that doesn't know any of that head talk, it's mm-hmm. perfectly reasonable. And when you've got a step-by-step process to follow, like I show people, mm-hmm. then you can remember it on the spot. Right. And that's really handy. So yeah, I know you get it.
But it's also educating others about it too. But I love what you named it, Relationship Reset Roadmap. I know you have steps, but if you could share a little bit about that.
Thank you. Well, I do a one-on-one online program. Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually not completely online. I need to call it a blended learning program. Because it's one-on-one sessions mixed with some email support, mixed with some self-reflection exercises. And basically, we go through a couple of different stages. The first stage is the relationship language. So what kind of things can you put in place that's going to just make a difference straight away, that's going to give you a little bit of a boost to keep going? Mm-hmm. We talk about relationship habits, because we all have them. And when we strike a particular person, it's going to kind of instigate something that's inside us that's always been there since childhood. And some of those responses are going to be that you might freeze. Some of them might be that you fight. Some of them you might go, okay, I'm out of here. You know, you might just want to run away. So we talk about those habits, and we talk about how to change some of those habits. And we also talk about relationship values. So that's the third component of the reset roadmap. And all of those values, it's really about using universal needs language. Mm-hmm. And that's something that was invented a really, really long time ago. Mm-hmm. But it stands the test of time. And it's really worthwhile using those words in your everyday language, because it helps you get on the same page as the person you're talking to. And that always feels really good. And if it's a difficult conversation, it feels quite a relief. And the last part, of course, is the coaching component, where the relationship coaching, which of course is me, but it's about the two of us practicing together. So when they go out in the wild, they're actually going to have some innate skills to actually get them through. So they won't feel like they've just learned something. It's not only all the information, it's implementation as well.
Oh, that's so key in anything we do, because we can have all the knowledge, but if we're not applying it, how is it going to be able to show up in our relationships, in our conversations, in our communication. So I'm curious, because I know you've worked with several people, what has been maybe one or two client success stories you could share with us, what it looks like to go through that journey with you?
Yeah, I'll talk about Karen, which obviously isn't her real name. Okay. I want to protect the privacy of people that come to me. And she came to me and her whole family was in crisis, meaning that nobody was talking to each other. And it had got to the stage where lawyers had been involved. So grandparents were very ill. So there was a lot of health issues within the family too. So there was grandparents that were ill. There was Karen had had a, a recent operation. So her health wasn't the best. And what we found when she first approached me was that she was carrying the emotional load for the whole family. So that might have been causing some of her illness. So what actually happened was we got members of the family together and we just did some one-on-ones. So we did a mediation, like a supporting conversation, basically. Then we got to where the only one that hadn't had a conversation was the dad, so her partner. And she was afraid, because her daughter had a mental health condition, she was actually afraid that if he came on the call, that his anger might frighten her away. So she'd approached him several times and said, you need to do something about your anger. Otherwise, we can't have this conversation together and it's just going to go nowhere. So she told me about that. And I said, let's have a couple, you and me, let's have a couple of sessions. So we did. And at the end of the second session, she said, you know what, Quinn, I'm going to go and ask him again. You've actually given me some tools and a little bit of courage, and I'm going to go in tonight. I'm going to ask him again. So I waited and I was waiting. I said, please let me know, because this is exciting, you know. And she texted me about 9 p.m. and she said, Glenn, he's going to get support for his anger. And I was, because that was a huge shift. He didn't believe he needed it. He was okay, you know, all of those things. We want to cover it up, right? Perfectly understandable. So he actually rang me the next day. I didn't mind whether he got support from me or somebody else, but he rang me the next day. And we went through a session and he found it really hard to talk at the end. He was quite emotional. And he said, I've never spoken like this with anybody. And he could barely speak. And he said, I just want to say, thanks, Glenn, right? Go, okay, I got it. I got the message, you know. And from then on, we were able to go into a mediation with the whole family. And the end of that call, instead of, at the beginning, it was a little bit tense because everybody's nervous, but at the end of that call, they all said they loved each other. So that was a great result. We don't always have to get those results, but that was an amazing result, just to see what was possible in such a very short space of time. So that was my, because that affects the whole family. So that was very rewarding for me. And I love remembering that story, and I love remembering them.
Oh, well, they sound like they really needed you and you were able to be there to support them, and not even knowing, like, indirectly how much you were helping. And I think that's the beautiful thing. I mean, family and therapy is the specialty that I used to do, but like helping one person can really fix, or not fix, but really help the dynamic of the entire family. Because when you look at it, one person adds something to the family and they add something to the dynamic, whether it's good or bad or in between or something, not labeling it, but something happens. And when we're able to really shift other one person's perspective, they can approach things differently. And that's what I'm hearing too, being able to have those conversations and mediating too with the whole family, and him being open is massive. When we don't always want to look at our own stuff, or we think everything's fine or great, when in reality, it might not be that way. Varies person to person. But such a beautiful example too of how the work that you're doing is really helping not only the one person, but the whole dynamic, because it does trickle into others. So I wanted to highlight that.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, of course. And so I'm curious, with starting your business, sometimes, you know, it just happens overnight and everything's great and you just keep building your business. I mean, that's a dream. But have there been any roadblocks for you that really were amazing lessons that you learned through your journey so far as an entrepreneur?
A few. I really think that from what my coaches have said over the time is that what you're thinking, what the thoughts you're telling yourself is such an important component. Mm-hmm. I share a journaling process that I call the inspired journaling process, literally to examine that before I go into a difficult conversation. But that could also be a mediation where I've got 8 or 9 people in a family and I might need to think about, oh my goodness, what are my thoughts going into this? I've done this for however many years, it's great, but suddenly I have doubts. What? You know, so it the mindset is really important. And I think the other thing that has really made it noticeably different is the coach I have at the moment, mm-hmm. and the team, the people that are all we're all co-learners, if you like. So the coach that I have, they're a wonderful team, and getting support, just having a couple of people that have your back, wow, what a difference that makes. And it's kind of, they're on, I know if I need them, they're on Team Glynn, you know, they will come and support me. And just even a text or something that's online that I can see and I can ask questions. So always reaching out for support would be the thing that I would say to people to definitely do. Getting a good coach, mm-hmm. You know, you would know in your work how valuable the support you give other people. Mm-hmm. And just having somebody like that as well is very reassuring. And then you can really stand on your own 2 feet.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. It takes a village. They say that with raising a child, but I think that's with business too. It's in the beginning, it can be really challenging to ask for help if the finances aren't there, but there's so many people willing to help too. It's just asking and not being afraid to ask, but knowing that you have that support, just like you're saying too, you have a team and everyone's co-learning together, whether it's just different entities or being able to delegate things. But that's at least what I'm hearing from you as well. You have people that are in your corner that want to see you succeed, and you all want to see each other succeed too.
Yeah. And what you said about it takes a village, it is like bringing up a child. You have a vision, which is, I particularly have a vision of making more children smile by giving skills to adults. Mm-hmm. And you have this little vision, and it is like a little baby, and then you bring it to fruition. So, and it's a continual journey. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just like it takes a village. Yeah, I would totally agree with that.
Yeah, no, it's very true. And with the roadblocks, because starting to have the success, having the clients that you've worked with, what has been maybe a pivotal moment in your business where you're like, I'm not sure if I can keep doing this, but you persevered and pushed through it? Not more like, not really a roadblock, but more of just like ever self-doubt or questioning it and pushing through that, if you have experienced that.
If I have, right. Yes, I have. And I think that what the tools that I have in my own toolkit that I share, I just say, practitioner, heal thyself, you know. So mm-hmm. I meditate, I do the things that I ask others to do, mm-hmm. and going for walks in nature, putting my feet in the ocean, walking on the sand, all things that are things that I can feel with my senses, I can engage all my senses. I actually have on my desk, I actually have something that's also a room spray, but it's bergamot, sage, and grapefruit, this particular one. But all I do is if I spray that, it actually is like a pattern interrupter.
Yeah.
Because the sense of smell is really a powerful motivator. Mm-hmm. or not. And and then I do my inspired journaling, and then that really sets me up for the strength that it takes. But I have several moments like that, and, you know, going live on Facebook, those sorts of things, that was a huge, you know, challenge. Mm-hmm. And lots of people have that fear of public speaking, but then when you get on Facebook and you go, you press live and you go, well, you have no idea who's listening.
Yeah.
And then you get scared about how many people might be listening. And then after you've done it, you get scared about the fact that nobody was listening.
Yes.
What is that about? So, yeah, mm-hmm. direct opposite. But, yeah, so you go through, I have been through so many hurdles.
Mm-hmm. I believe it. I mean, I think too, just, I'm sure it resonated with so many people just about the Facebook Live, or if it's anything live, it's like go time. And then you're like, wait, did anybody watch it? Or like, wait, did I sound okay? Like the first few, and then you start to get to accustomed to it. It takes time. I mean, I still get nervous sometimes going live, but it's a good nervous. And I think it's just, you're doing something that might not be super comfortable right away, but being able to push through that, and it's creating that environment, just like what you're saying with the smell and just having that time outside in nature, or being able to be close to the ocean and putting your feet in the water, seeing the ocean or mountains or wherever you are. But I think it's important to recognize that energy that's around you. And that's what I'm hearing too, is so important when you have any self-doubt or you're questioning things. It's just pushing through that, because there's a reason you're doing what you're doing, and just recognizing that and going back to that.
Yes, definitely. I totally agree with what you've said. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. And just reaching out for that support, yeah. Reaching out for support. I wish I could say to everybody on the planet how valuable that is, and how mm-hmm. that also takes a lot of courage, because you're kind of saying, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And when you actually get the support, you'll realize that, as you said, mm-hmm. people want to help you. Lots of people want to help you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's very true. So I want to go back to the relationships that you work with, the individuals that you work with. What are some maybe common themes that you see when it comes to conflict that people might be avoiding, or just being abrupt, or anything that you see on a regular basis that maybe people can start to look for if maybe they need your services too?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I ran a masterclass just this week mm-hmm. on, I called it the connection conversation. Mm. And it was about how to gracefully start a conversation about something you are always argued about. So what my clients tell me is that, oh gosh, like I haven't spoken to my partner or my boss for a week. How do I, like, it's with me the whole time. It's in my head. I wake up at 3 a.m. and I think about how awful that conversation was. How do I even meet the two together? Mm-hmm. So they're things that people, that's just everyday stuff, right? Like you kind of, I think what my clients think is, well, I know that they should be able to do it themselves. Mm. This is simple. I should be able to do it myself. Everybody else can do it. Why can't I? Mm. And so, and then once you've set yourself up that you should be, and it's a failure not to be able to do it, it's even harder to have that conversation. So, yeah. So that's one thing. Being resilient in everyday life is another thing. When you have, because often the setbacks that we have, or that I experience and some of my clients experience, they come in bundles. Mm. Sometimes it's not just one thing. You'll have one thing and it affects your energy, and you think, okay, pace yourself, you've got the strength, you can do this. But then something else will happen, and then something else will happen. So it's like that rule of three or whatever, you know, not only have you, your friend just said something awful to you, but the toaster now needs replacing, and then the washing machine, you know, like, or other things personal, right? Mm-hmm. All of these things start to line up and you go, whoa, 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 hold it, right? So Yeah. So those sorts of things my clients tell me as well, like, Glyn, it's mounting up. Like, where did all this stuff come from? I was going well, and then suddenly I wasn't going well. Right. So those, and also the other thing that has come up as well is how to really help your partner mm-hmm. or your friend or your sibling with listening to them when they're in a lot of pain and they're not actually asking for support. So how to bridge that gap mm-hmm. and give them support without it making sound like you're fixing them.
Mm-hmm.
So that never comes across well. People really don't like that. And it's well-meaning intention. People mm-hmm. want to help. So I help them bridge that gap with, I get that you want to help, and let's look at how you can do that so it doesn't encroach on somebody else's privacy, or we don't want to fix it for them. So that's another common theme. Mm-hmm. And just really themes around where the family relationships have broken down over time mm-hmm. and they can't really sort through it. It's like, hang on, this has been going on for 5 years or 10 years maybe. Mm-hmm. How did we get here?
Yeah.
But we're really angry with each other. So there's some other things that I work with as well. I help support conversations between people.
Well, I think it's important what you're doing. And I wanted to ask you, so I know you've done a lot of personal development, but what was that initial thought process or moment or moments that you're like, I want to make this into a business now?
I know exactly the moment. I was actually at a Tony Robbins event.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid my money for my ticket, but I was going by myself. And mm-hmm. when I got there, it didn't feel very good that I was by myself because everybody was with a whole group of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people went into the room with 8 or 10 friends or colleagues from work. Mm-hmm. And it was but that's what I wanted to think. That was my mind and my brain. Thank mm-hmm. you, brain. Telling me, you're all by yourself. What the hell are you doing? So I went in and I actually had the best 4 days of my life. And it was when we were doing the firewalk, actually, that at the end of doing that jaunt across the hot coals, which incidentally takes a long time to prepare for. So it's practice and preparation for that. Mm. And I was determined I was going to do it. And my buddy or my partner that I'd been teamed up with for the firewalk, mm-hmm. at the last minute, she said, I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, this is a really big test for my mind, isn't it? I could easily say, yeah, me neither. Like, let's not, and be have a sense of belonging and inclusion with her. And I could have easily just got out of it. Why not?
Yeah.
But it was just that pivotal moment. And I guess I'd listened to Tony Robbins. I must have paid attention. And it was that pivotal moment where I went, oh my gosh, I came by myself. I'm going to do this firewalk by myself. All right, you can do this. You can do this. And right at the end of the firewalk, they actually, there's one instruction that they give you, but at the end, there's several instructions, but at the end of the firewalk, I remember looking up at the sky and it was a beautiful, clear night and I saw stars, but I zeroed in on one particular set of stars that was forming a shape.
Mm.
I didn't have that long to look at it. It wasn't that long. It's taking me longer to describe it. And I thought, I wonder what that shape is. And a few days later, I realized I want to start my business. This is it. I want to start it. And that's where I got the name from for my business. It was a formation called Keystone something formation. I'm not sure. And I went, okay, I'm going to call it Keystone Skills. That's it for sure. So Tony Robbins, you know, that 4 days of intensity and camaraderie and training and changing my habits really changed a lot for me.
Wow. It's amazing too that you were able to push through with doing the fire walk, even though your partner wasn't really, she was like, no, not doing it. But you pushed through and you persevered. And once you got that initial thought of like, okay, this is what the business is going to be, this is the name, what were those next like few months? What did those look like for you?
Well, I actually did a lot myself because I didn't have any money. So I put all the website together and the website and putting things in a way, it was kind of a bit newer then too. And there wasn't as much competition as there is right today on social media. So I got my social media ducks in a row, but there weren't as many ducks. So that was good. But it was all new to me. And it was all things that I needed to learn myself. So I did put a lot of pressure on myself. But after 4 or 5 months, what I went was, oh, I've got this and I'm ready to go. I'm really good to go. And once I put something up online, I got quite a lot of calls from or inquiries from fairly substantial businesses. Mm-hmm. So I was surprised. I must have just hit it at the right time. Not only that, but I did a lot of research. I did a lot of what do people want stuff. Mm-hmm. I had my training under my belt. I'd also had the coaching that I spoke of there as well. Mm-hmm. And I just went for it. I believed I was invincible. And that's a really nice feeling to have. So, but I had support. I was determined. And I taught myself things. And then I just went out and did it. I didn't know. There wasn't Facebook Lives at that point, mm-hmm. so I didn't have to overcome that hurdle. There were a lot of other hurdles, though, and I was really proud of myself for doing it. So, and a lot of my friends supported me at that point, too. And, so I really value their support way back then. That was huge. For me.
Yes. No, I know so many people that might not always have the support from family and friends. And I think that is so crucial. It's simple things of like sharing a post or liking a post or just being able to know that the service is there. So it sounds like amazing people in your circle that have really helped you grow as well. Just knowing that they're in your corner for you. Like we were talking about in the beginning, like that village, even if they're not a part of the business, just being able to share it and cheer you on as well. I think that's so instrumental in life.
Yeah. And it's give and take as well. Yeah, I love contributing to them just as human beings do. Mm-hmm. And they like contributing to me. Who knew? Like, right.
Like that. Simple things. But I'm curious. So after just looking back on your journey of entrepreneurship thus far, what has been maybe two or three things you wish you would have known in the beginning of your journey that you know now?
I would say the biggest thing that I have touched on as well is probably asking for support. Mm-hmm. In all facets of your life, because you're bringing, when you launch a business, it's you that you're launching. Mm-hmm. So look, I can go sell designer sunglasses for somebody else, mm-hmm. because it's not me. It's not my name on the line. When you're selling yourself and you have reputation thoughts going on a lot, mm-hmm. And actually getting the support, I would say, is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. I want people to reach out to me as a coach for support, then where am I reaching out for support? Mm-hmm. So I want to kind of walk the talk, if you like. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the biggest things. I think the other thing that I am still learning is self-compassion. When things don't go according to plan. And that's the other thing in the boundaries as well that I share with people. When things don't go to plan, mourn that you have things haven't gone perfectly and you won't always get it right.
Yeah.
And I think the most important thing that I've learned over time, but also again with boundaries, is not to over-explain things. I don't need to, in the moment that I'm putting my boundaries in place and the things that are important for me, I can pull back just a little from taking care of everyone else's feelings for a moment.
Yeah.
So, and I guess not always expecting that I will know what I want.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. So being compassionate to myself and being kind to myself.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up, because it is about that compassion piece that it can get forgotten, or just forgiving ourselves for not being perfect or saying it the exact way we wanted to, or things not going according to plan. That is life. And I'm so glad that you really highlighted that, because I think with boundaries comes that compassion piece. It's about just being able to honor and respect ourselves. And that's what I'm hearing you say, at least my opinion. That's what I'm hearing as well, because it's true. We really need to honor ourselves first and foremost, so we can honor the relationships around us, because the most important relationship is the relationship with ourselves. But that's how we're able to have amazing women like you in our lives to really help with conflict when it does come and arise, and how we can really navigate that in a more effective way as well.
Yeah, totally. Thank you.
Of course. And so I've been enjoying this conversation so much, and I feel like there's so much value that you brought to us today. We're going to jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
Sure thing.
Okay. The first question is, who is your hero?
Oh, this might surprise a few people, but I think it's Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
She had a tough gig in life. Mm-hmm. And it was just a mistake that ended her life. So, and she was always outspoken. She was, even though she was gorgeous, she just had, I think, a lot of resilience.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I like that answer. What motivates you to work smarter?
I think my current coach and the team that I have, the support I have, and also I definitely think Tony Robbins kicked that off in the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. So if you were a superhero, what would be your power or powers?
Well, I just saw Thor, Love and Thunder. So that's just been released here. And, you know, the main character is an Australian actor. So I think what power I'd like to have is that hammer, right? It can literally come into another world. So, and the latest theme in that was rescuing kids. So I don't really want to rescue the kids, but I certainly want to accompany them via adults. So that really spoke to me. So Thor's hammer is what I like.
I love it. They're unique. It gets you places, you know? Pretty fast.
And quickly, yes.
So if you were to share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
Well, I think it has to go back to Marilyn Monroe. I would love to know what happened the day before that. And I think I'd love to share a meal or coffee with Tony Robbins. I think that would be pretty awesome. I'd really like to share some time with Thich Nhat Hanh, because, oh, wow, what a grounded person. I don't know how he did that whole thing that he did and does or did. So I would really love that. And I think, and maybe this is because of the Marilyn Monroe thing, but I think I'd like to spend some time with Jacqueline Kennedy.
Mm.
I think I'd really find her fascinating. She had such style and grace,
mm-hmm.
and poise and creative flair. So I'd love to have a conversation with her.
That would be a good table to be at.
Yeah, I think we all have courage too. And I think that's sort of a thing that I'd like to have. So, yeah.
I like that. I like how it ties together. And what is the most daring thing you've ever done?
Oh, well, I guess it has to be the firewalk, because I did it twice.
Oh,
two separate occasions. Yeah. But also the other thing was when I was first learning to snow ski, we went down and we built some little mounds, and I had not a lot of experience with snow skiing, and we built these mounds so we could come tearing down the mountain when I had less fear, that is, tearing down the mountain and do these jumps. But I didn't realize how much you lose control over, like, then when gravity suddenly takes over. So I think that also has got to be up there with one of the scariest things. I still remember being up at that point before coming down. So yeah.
All you have to catch you is the snow and not to fall off the cliff.
Yes.
And what is the phone app that you use the most?
Oh, definitely Instagram. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Facebook. It has to be, yeah, probably. Yeah.
It intertwines, right? And what is the last book that you've read or listened to?
Listen to Jen Sincero, which was Badass with Money. Mm-hmm. I like the spin that she puts on it. So yes. Yeah.
That's a good one. I read that a few months ago. Again, I've read it a few times, but it's a good one. It's a really good one. It's one, yeah, you can reread a few times, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Your phases of life.
She's funny too.
She's very funny. Listening to her too is, I rather listen than read it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So if you were to have a movie about your life thus far, who would play you?
Well, maybe not now, and this might seem a little strange, but about maybe 15 years ago, I guess, my little girls at that time told me that I looked like Jennifer Aniston. So it has to be her, I think, but maybe previous times in life. Yeah. Yes, that's what they kept telling me. And that's the first person that I thought of when you asked me that question.
Well, she's a phenomenal actress, and I could see similarities too. Yeah. What is your favorite family recipe, whether it's traditional or you just love making it together?
Oh, okay. So this might sound a little boring, I suppose, but what it is chicken with honey and soy sauce. Mm. And bok choy and black cherries, because it's a nice sweet sour combo. Yeah. And my girls always loved that when they were growing up. So probably because of the honey, I think. But, yeah.
Probably. That's a good mix. It doesn't sound boring to me.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sure other people would agree with me too. And what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
Well, I think they would never assume that when I've worked with somebody and when I've worked with families, that I actually care about them. Mm. And I develop quite a lot of love for, because they're telling me things that they either haven't told people before, or, and the trust that develops is quite high. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it's that care and the love that I develop for them, and it doesn't go away. I still think about them, you know, years later. I wonder how they're going, and some people I contact or they contact me, but yeah, it's that love and care that I'm sure people just get on with their lives and they don't even imagine that I'm thinking about them. Mm-hmm. But yes. Yeah.
That's beautiful. And I want to throw one more in there, because I know you're a mom. What has it been like, not balancing, but really integrating motherhood, family, and entrepreneurship for you?
Oh my goodness. Yes. It's been hard. And one of the things that's the hardest, I suppose, is how much being okay with, mm-hmm, balance, and saying that I know that they're well fed, that I can spend time with them later. I know how to spend quality time with them without it being a lot of time. Mm-hmm. So I know how to balance that. And luckily with my skills, it just happened to be a family kind of skill. I can listen to them. Mm-hmm. And so I know how to do that. I know how to do it rapidly. And I know how to take my time with it. And it was really about convincing myself that I wanted to show them that at any age, they can do whatever's in their dreams. Mm-hmm. So that motivated me. And I always made sure that I have time for family and health and fitness. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's important. And, you know, you touched on really important factor. It's just where your priorities lie, but also being able to know when to push, when to pull, and being able to navigate that effectively for you and your family, but also for your clients too. So thank you for sharing that. So Glenn, where can people find you, hire you? We're going to link everything below so everyone can find you, but can you let us know as well?
Yeah, thank you. My website is keystoneskills.com.au. And I have an Instagram page, which is Glyn Conlon Keystone Skills. And I have a Facebook page, which is Keystone Interaction Skills. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on YouTube as well. And I have lots of free videos you can catch on YouTube. Whenever I run a masterclass, I usually put a Facebook event up as well. And yes, I just gave away a lovely guide on boundaries, beginner's boundaries. So yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Glenn, for being here today. I know I enjoyed this conversation so much, and I know others will too, but thank you again for just bringing in your energy today and sharing with us all your wisdom of your journey and experience. I know somebody has definitely learned something from today.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Caroline. And thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from today's episode? I'm sure Glenn would enjoy reading your comments and also being able to help you if you need help. So we will see you on the next video.